With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with your gardening quandaries. It's a wonderful time of year to get out and see some magnificent gardens, and my guest today knows all about that. Shauna Hay is the Press and Marketing Manager for the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh. I'll also be asking Shauna about some of Edinburgh's other delights, including their fire garden, laser garden and the Tunnel of Light. My thanks to Diego, sponsors of this podcast, and of course to my producer, Charlie Jones. Well, it was pretty good weather for mid-December last weekend, although there's been some roughish wind, which is a help, because it's drying the surface out a bit. Things were pretty wet and sticky in my own garden. And, of course, last week I went to Cooling's Garden Centre where we had the Charlton Manor School Choir singing their Christmas music to an audience of the elderly. Boy, that was great fun. They sang their hearts out. I hope at the tail end of this podcast we can just give you a sample of what they sounded like. We've done this once before, and every child has a small 7-centimetre pot poinsettia to take home. Now, if you stop and think about it, 7 centimetres is a pretty small pot. And what we suggest they do, and we demonstrated to the choir of 29 of them, that you just very gently take the plant out of the pot and you have a 4-inch or so length of wool and you shape it in a U and thread the two ends through holes in the bottom of the pot so that there's just a little U-shaped loop sitting at the top, and then you pop the poinsettia back in. The pot then goes into a pot cover, a slightly larger pot, and if you use a clear plastic drinking, we call it cup or glass, with one or two stones on the bottom, that little pot sits on the stones and you just keep a reservoir of water in the base so that the two tails of wool dip down into the water and act as a wick and keep the compost damp. So all the youngsters have to do is to make sure that there's always a little bit of water in the bottom of that pot cover and the plant stays really nice and moist and will be in pretty good health and look pretty good for weeks if it's kept on a nice light position during the daytime. I have my fingers crossed that they got those plants home safely and that they're all being cared for, as Christmas plants need caring at this time of year. Well, I was interested to hear that Dobby's, the garden centre based up in Edinburgh, had increased sales by 2% up to the end of February last year. And they now have 69 centres after buying a group of them from Wyvale, and now are talking about floating on the stock exchange with sales reaching 300 million. Be very interested to see how Dobby's get on in the next year or two. You know, when there are family businesses with garden centres within easy driving distance for the day, they can keep control, but these national garden centre chains really are quite difficult to manage when you have some down on the south coast and others right up into Scotland. I read about a new apple called Cosmic Crisp. It goes on sale in America this week, I think, remarkably with a £10 million launch. Can you imagine that? Just one variety of apples. And to launch it, they grow enough to sustain a £10 million launch. Fruit growers in Washington State, who produce two-thirds of all the apples produced in America, have crossbred this new introduction from a variety called Honey Crisp, introduced in 1991. I think it's one of Steve Bradley's favourite apples, and it certainly is sweet and crisp. If I remember correctly, Honey Crisp was one parent, and Enterprise the other one for the new Cosmic Crisp introduction, with Enterprise used because it has disease resistance and a deep red colour. Cosmic Crisp, so named because it has a glossy burgundy skin, really dark red, flecked with yellow star-like spots. This latest introduction is said to stay fresh for a year in cold storage. So, one variety that can be stored in cold store and eaten year-round. Be very interesting to see whether it comes here or not. Reading notes from Trevor Pfeiffer in Garden Trade News, he reports that customers are voting for Christmas with their feet on garden centres, and sales are just going out through the roof on previous years. All looks good for our gardening trade. I was at a local horticultural society speaking about houseplants this week, and it was interesting. Questions came thick, fast and furious. One, for example, about whether it was still necessary to use crocks in flower pots. I mean, traditionally, we always had a few pieces of broken terracotta in the base of terracotta flower pots. That's really all gone by the by now. With plastic pots that are flat with a series of holes in the base, crocks are no longer necessary. In fact, they're a disadvantage because they take up space that could otherwise be occupied by compost and give the houseplants a bit more root run. There is one case when I still use a croc. If I've got a terracotta pot, you know, a clay pot, with just one hole in the base in the centre, and I'm using one of the soil-based John Innes composts, then I will have a curved piece of broken piece of flower pot that just goes over that hole, because otherwise if the John Innes has a bit of really heavy soil, clayish sort of soil, it can stick in that hole and block it, and then the pot gets waterlogged. Another of the questions was that why do we put cuttings around the edge of a pot when we're trying to root them? And that again comes from tradition. When we were using clay terracotta pots, they would breathe, you know, air would pass through the terracotta. And of course, when cuttings are rooting, they don't only need moisture, they also need some air. And if you put the cuttings round the edge of a terracotta pot, then they will have just that little bit more air. Quite honestly, a lot of my cuttings are rooted in little square black plastic pots. I suppose it would be about 2 inches square. They are really very small pots, and I can get 9 cuttings in rows in that little pot. And the centre one seems to root just as well as the one round the outside. But that's probably because the compost I use has some perlite in it, which is quite open and holds quite a lot of air. I did give the tip, as I've done many times before, that if you're rooting cuttings on a windowsill, then from late March round to October, they need to be enclosed in a white polythene pot on a very bright sunny windowsill, because the white polythene just shades the cuttings a bit from very strong sunlight. But from October round to March, when you need all the light possible, and there's not really enough coming through windows, particularly if they're double glazed, and so then we use clear plastic to root the cuttings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Our guest today is Shauna Hay, who's press and marketing manager for the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh. Now, I have to admit, it's some time since I was in the Edinburgh Botanic Garden, and at that time, I think, with American TV cameras, and I do remember a very beautiful hedge, a long, herbaceous border, palm house, and standing up on the rock garden, looking right across to the city. Shauna, are all of those things still in place up in Edinburgh?
The rock garden, the palm house, the herbaceous border remain elements that we pride to make them look at their best for visitors at whatever time of year they come. So they change constantly as any garden changes.
If you go to Edinburgh, you have to make that. It's quite a close garden, isn't it? If you know, you're not very far from the main streets of Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is a small city. We're a mile from the city centre. You can walk it in maybe 15, 20 minutes or take public transport. And then we're a compact site when you reach us, 70 acres.
Which is amazing, isn't it? That's that size and so much to see so close to the city. But before I forget, and I'm quite interested to hear, you've got a lot for visitors running up to Christmas. I mean, if I read things correctly, you've got a tunnel of light, you've got a fire garden and a laser garden. I mean, what's that to do with the botanics?
Christmas at the botanics is all about reaching out to new audiences, to encouraging people who perhaps think they aren't interested in gardens or the environment. It also plays a very important part in our fundraising efforts. On the run-up to 2020, when we're 350 years old, the work that we undertake in more than 35 countries around the world has never been more important, so we really need to reach out to the public.
And so can you describe what's involved with your tonne of light and fire garden? I mean, what will we see?
Visitors to Royal Botanic Garden Edinburgh during December will be welcomed to a mile-long trail of twinkling lights. The Cathedral of Light alone has more than 100,000 lights in it. We have a scented fire garden. The Victorian Temperate Palm House comes to life with light and music. And then it culminates on Inverleith House lawn with a beautiful musical light display looking out over the city towards the castle and down the Royal Mile.
And so you're outside to see that last. Is that the laser display?
The laser garden is by Inverleith House, yes. That's a new feature too. It's quite exciting, up at the top of the hill.
And what do you see then?
The laser garden is points of shining purple, pinks, green lights, creating a dazzling effect as you walk through them. It's quite magical.
Yeah, amazing. It's difficult with just describing in words what you're presenting in three dimensions, but it really interests and excites me, and how different to the way botanical gardens used to be.
I think botanical gardens now and, you know, in years to come have to increase their outreach. The work, the conservation and research work they're doing is so important in the face of climate change and habitat loss that botanic gardens generally really have to rethink what they do. Not necessarily change the fundamental aspects of our taxonomic research or horticultural conservation. Just think of new ways to attract a wider public.
And does your work involve the other areas that Edinburgh Botanics has at Benmore, Logan and Dayock?
We have three very special regional gardens, all with their own microclimates. The first accession was Benmore, which was gifted to the nation in 1929 and is a magnificent mountainside garden. It's host to one of the biggest collections of wild origin rhododendrons in the world outside China, and is also home to most of our Chilean plantings. Then we have Logan Botanic Garden down the southwest tip of Scotland. It's on the Gulf Stream and grows plants outdoors that really shouldn't grow outdoors that far north. And our final accession is Doig in the Scottish Borders, which is home to the Nepalese plantings. Of our four gardens, it has the warmest summers and the coldest, snowiest winters. So every garden is very important to the living collection and to the visitors who go to visit them.
Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing climate range that you're able to use. I think it was Benmore that I went to that had a grotto with... And do you have a fern house? Is my memory correct with that?
Your memory is absolutely spot on. We renovated our Victorian fernery 10 years ago. It's absolutely unique. It's the only fernery you will find anywhere growing on the cleft of a rock and has some astonishing specimens in there, as well as a very sweet grotto.
Yeah, and ferns really back in fashion now, so you're right on the ball with that.
We do our best. let's hope that Victorian tetramania won't return. They won't be pulling them out of the hillsides again.
Obviously, if you go onto the website, you can pick opening times and costs to get in and that kind of thing. With the Edinburgh Light Festival that you've got at present, what's the situation there? What does it cost?
Costs vary depending on the size of group and children, for example, under three grow free, but the basic price is about £14. It varies depending on the day of the week and how close it is to Christmas and New Year, but all the prices are up there on the website.
And do you have a friends, a sort of membership? Can you join Edinburgh Botanic Garden in some way?
Absolutely. If you join the four gardens, you get free membership, magazines, various members events throughout the year. And in fact, next year for our 350th anniversary, we'll be welcoming friends internationally from other gardens to come and celebrate the occasion, including Oxford, Britain's oldest botanic garden. We're very good friends of ours.
Well, if you're 350 years, that's pretty well old enough, isn't it? Goodness, what a history. Yeah.
We'll have a party.
Are the Scots good at having parties?
We like to try.
But if some of our listeners have to travel, when would be the best time to come up? I mean, you mentioned that at Benmore there's the enormous collection of rhododendrons. When are good times to go to your gardens?
There is something very special to see in all of the gardens at any time of the year. At the moment, many of the trees are bare of leaves, but you can see their amazing structure and bark effects that can be hidden at other times of the year. We have magnificent alpines to be seen in Edinburgh. Again, the rock garden and the alpine houses vary throughout the year. You mentioned Benmore's rhododendrons. They are excellent from March till the end of June, as are, in fact, Doyks and Logans. And Edinburgh has some... We're very big in rhododendrons in all four gardens, it has to be said. Or come and see the Echinopsis in June.
Oh, don't. Yes, every time I see them, and I think most other sensible gardeners, once they see the blue of those Echinopsis, they have to have a go. But down where I live in Essex, with that very low rainfall, boy, it's uphill. And you tempt us beyond our abilities, I'm afraid. But they're fantastic, aren't they? Self-seeding, presumably, with you. And the most glorious blue colour.
They are stunning, and you're right, we just happen to have the conditions that make all the difference.
What a wonderful wealth for gardeners. And sadly, just rather too far for some of us, but we need to make the effort. Shauna, it's very good to have chatted to you. Thank you very much for all of this information. The website, what is it that we need to log on to?
www.rbge.org.uk.
I hope to be up there in the next 12 months. I wish you a very successful run-up to Christmas and New Year.
Thank you. Do come and visit us during our 350s. We'd love to see you.
My thought for the day really was prompted by a card that I received recently. There's a very nice picture of a lady in a frock dress, pretty tightly dressed really, hoeing a row of brassicas. And the card is from the National Portrait Gallery. And it says above this very nice picture, "Gardening is cheaper than therapy, and you get tomatoes." So that's our message for the week, perhaps. Gardening, good therapy, and you actually get something from your labours. My thanks to Hayloft, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.